Our next presenter this morning is Jennifer Covino. Jennifer is a third-year medical student at the University of Vermont College of Medicine. It's always nice to have a student presenting, especially a future physician. That's great. Prior to her matriculation to med school, she spent 6 years working at the Massachusetts General Hospital Department of Psychiatry in an administrative and research capacity. Please welcome Jennifer Covino.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here this morning to talk a little bit about a proposed program on emergency and scheduled respite care for caregivers of persons with dementia. And this is a project that's actually been ongoing for about 2 years now, and it's been in collaboration with the Visiting Nurses Association. It came about following an incident at a day program in which an elderly gentleman was dropped off in the morning, and in the evening, no one came to pick him up. And what had happened is his caregiver had had a heart attack, and there was no other family member or anyone else available to come and get him, so that individual ended up going home with someone from the VNA staff that night. And so it led to a question of, is there a need for additional respite services in the community, and what is actually available in the community? So this kind of goes without saying, but the population of elderly citizens in the U.S. is continuing to expand, and that's paralleled with an increase in the prevalence of dementia. Dementia is certainly placing an increased burden on the healthcare system at large, but also on individual family members who are often caregivers for these patients with dementia and who often have limited resources, so they end up in a kind of 24/7 care role. Respite care is defined as providing a primary caregiver with relief or reprieve from care commitments on a short-term or emergency basis. And so this project for us really started with demonstrating a need for caregiver respite. And to do this, we began with surveys, and we surveyed caregivers at the VNA day programs and also caregivers at the memory clinic at Fletcher Allen Hospital in Vermont. And we found that 68% of caregivers did report an interest in additional respite care, with the biggest concern being cost for that care. Needs for their loved ones included assistance with meds, supervision, management of hygiene and negative behaviors, assistance with mobility, and also assistance with feeding. And in addition to kind of the surveys, we also ran a number of focus groups. And there was an overwhelming kind of response and an interest in having additional respite opportunities available to these individuals. And one of the kind of resounding concerns that they had is knowing that the individuals that might be providing the service were trained or had some experience. They weren't just leaving their loved one with a stranger. And so it's something we kind of took to heart as we looked at developing a program or model. In addition to talking to the caregivers, we talked to four of the local nursing homes, and we actually were curious to see, do they have opportunities available for respite services there? And if we look at Birchwood and Star Farm, last year they were asked 60 times to provide temporary respite services to people in the community, and were only able to accommodate about half of the requests. But moreover, none of the nursing homes had any sort of emergency beds. So what happens in a caregiver emergency? What can these people do? And also, kind of not surprisingly, the cost for these services range from $252 to $450 a day. So if you consider everyday individual living on a fixed income really can't afford to do something like this. So we kind of started to look further at what is available to families in Vermont for caregiver respite. And there is a little bit of state assistance where families can apply for a grant that will award up to $750. But the stringent criteria makes it difficult for many families to participate in the program. You need the diagnosis of dementia, you have to be less than 300% of the poverty line, and an unpaid caregiver with a primary residence in Vermont. So in 2010, 290 families were able to participate in the program, but there's still a vast number who are not able or not eligible for the service. And for the majority of people, $750 isn't a lot of money, so they would use it to go to a medical appointment or if they needed to be out of town for a weekend. There really weren't good options. So as we were looking at the project, given the fiscal limitations, we looked at assessing the feasibility of a volunteer-based service that would provide emergency and scheduled respite care in the community. And before we kind of went to see what the options were, we wanted to network with the key agencies to understand what are their needs and to try and develop a program structure that would have administrative oversight, use a volunteer resource base, provide training for those volunteers, and also maybe find a little bit of fiscal support to kind of sustain the program. And so to begin, we designed a 12-question survey that we sent out to assess volunteer availability or interest in the program. And we asked people if they'd be interested in volunteering and also if they'd be interested in participating for a nominal fee to see if this is a program of interest to start with or whether it's not based on kind of financial opportunities. And what we wanted to do with this survey is reach as large a pool as possible. So we actually sent out surveys to the UVM community at large, also to the United Way, and to Fletcher Allen Healthcare volunteers that were active in the system. So we sent out the survey to about 8,000 individuals, again, just trying to see, is there an interest in the community? So as far as the results go, we got 95 surveys back, and 71 individuals said that they were interested in participating in the program. 42 said they would participate if they had expenses paid, and I think an additional 29 said that they would participate if there was expenses paid and a nominal fee. We're also interested in seeing, were people available for emergency care, or were they interested in a scheduled care program? And one of the things that came back from the focus groups was that people would love a couple hours a week just to go grocery shopping and to have some temporary support. And so we found just over 40 of the people who responded were interested in participating on a scheduled routine basis, and the remainder, just under 30, were interested in a potential on-call emergent basis, which would also include some overnight time. As far as timing of care goes, volunteers stated that 50% of them would be available in the evening, 42% during the day, and 8% overnight. And we were kind of excited to see that about 45% of people said they'd be willing to make a weekly commitment to a program like this. 21% monthly. And it looked like the majority of people were interested in more of a short-term volunteer opportunity, 0 to 4 or 4 to 8 hours, but there were a few individuals who were interested in a day, two-day type program. So based on the data, we developed a program model, and the program would provide less than 72 hours for on-call emergency care or scheduled respite. The program would be administered by the Visiting Nurses Association of Chittenden and Grand Isle Counties, and it would utilize community volunteers. And the community volunteers would have had a background check, would be reimbursed for their out-of-pocket expenses, and would also undergo a training program and specialize toward people with managing patients with dementia, which we thought was kind of a major concern of individuals, particularly from the focus group. And so we started to look more broadly at the community and what are the resources available so we wouldn't be recreating the wheel to kind of help us with this model. And we actually found, in regard to volunteer recruitment, there's a program known as RSVP, and it's affiliated with the United Way of Chittenden County. And it actually has resources, financial resources available to recruit volunteers. The RSVP program specifically focuses on volunteer opportunities for individuals greater than 55 years of age, and the director of that program was really excited about the potential to work with us, and she would have access to the entire United Way volunteer group. And she basically told us if we can get this model up and running, if we can provide training and oversight for the volunteers, that they would guarantee us they'd be able to find the number of volunteers that we need to make the program run. In regard to training, it turned out that there's a program. We actually started looking at the Alzheimer's Association videos, as there's videos and access to care and training modules for management of patients with dementia. But we then found this program known as ElderWise, and it's a program that was created by a social worker in the community, and she created a 70-hour training program focused on caregivers, focused toward caregivers in the management of patients with dementia and Alzheimer's. And it was specific to non-medical caregivers. So we spoke with the director at length, and she was extremely excited about the potential of developing a more tailored program to fit our needs. So the 70 hours is quite long. It deals with basic day-to-day management, but then also has additional information on management of patients with diabetes, counting carbohydrates, all of that, which we wouldn't necessarily need. We don't want to tax our volunteers too much, so we'd be able to kind of tailor down the program. In addition, should be able to provide background checks for the individuals and also talk with us. She's done a lot of curriculum development over the years about kind of developing some standardized tools that when the volunteers go out to individuals' houses, they would come back with the same form every time, which documents medications that were given, documents what occurred during the time that they were there, so that there's kind of a consistent system in place. And where we are right now in this proposed budget is very very proposed right now. but we are currently looking at funding sources to set up a pilot for this. And actually, the idea right now would be that the VNA would kind of volunteer some time to get the program up and running. But we would be looking to pilot the program with about 20 volunteers and to work with ElderWise to set up a training curriculum for that. And then again, pay for gas and food, so kind of the expenses that the volunteers pay out of pocket. And so there's a couple of different places that we're looking at. So Administration on Aging, Lifespan Awards, Medicaid Home and Community-Based Services Waiver Program, both have different grant opportunities available. And then we're also talking a little bit more about looking further into the community. Is there a philanthropic opportunity out there that maybe we could have a name program given the need for this in the community and the increasing need in the coming years? So just in conclusion, previous research in the last couple of years has demonstrated the need for additional service for caregivers of patients with dementia, and our group managed to demonstrate feasibility of a volunteer-based program for the provision of emergency and scheduled respite care, and we've worked really hard to identify kind of community partners and local resources that can kind of further help bring this potential service to the community at large or enhance the service to the community at large. And just briefly, we work with a number of people out in the community and specifically want to acknowledge Dr. Jan Carney, who is the former commissioner of public health, in Vermont, who has been very instrumental in working with us on these projects. So I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Yes, go ahead.
It is difficult. One of the questions in our survey was how far are volunteers willing to travel? And people were actually willing to go about 50 miles with reimbursement for gas and kind of food expenses, et cetera. So, you know, reaching the true rural areas of Vermont is, I think, going to be a consistent challenge that we're going to face. But we were kind of impressed that people were willing to kind of donate time and travel to a program like this. Well, thank you.